Stalin's fist is an OBP, or orbital ballistic projectile weapon. Our military played around with the idea, calling it rods from God. The theory is incredibly simple. Inside those tubes are tungsten rods weighing 1,800 pounds apiece. When fired, they fall through the atmosphere and hit whatever they are aimed at. Coming in at an orbital velocity of 18,000 miles per hour, multiplied by their mass, they hit with the kinetic energy of an atomic bomb, only there is no fallout, and defensive reaction time to such a weapon is cut in half, because there is no ascent stage like with a conventional ballistic missile. You might see a flaming object in the sky for a moment, but that's it. No warning, and no chance to escape.
The Soviets intended it as a first strike weapon, Juan added. The idea was to target several major Western cities lying along the same longitudinal axis and blame a freak meteor shower. With no radioactive fallout, and the rods themselves vaporized on impact, there would be no way to say it wasn't. They even had astronomers ready to show doctored photographs of the meteors moments before they entered our atmosphere. With the Western world reeling from losing five cities, the Sovs thought they could roll across the border and Europe would be theirs.
How do you know it didn't work? Eric asked Juan.
Because one of my first black ops for the agency was to infiltrate the Baikonur Cosmodrome, where it was being launched on an Energia rocket, and disable it. I rigged it so the satellite couldn't receive a signal from the ground because of Earth's magnetic field. It will only react if the order comes from above the atmosphere.
Why not just blow it up on the pad?
It was a manned mission. Two cosmonauts went up with it to manually deploy its solar panels. It was 3 days into the mission before they discovered the bird had been sabotaged.
Holly asked, "They couldn't just boost a ground signal?"
It would have fried the electronics.
Couldn't they have sent a signal from Mir, their space station?
They knew the jig was up, so they left it floating around up there in a polar orbit.
Do you think it still works? Eric asked.
Unless it's been hit by space debris, it should work perfectly.
Cabrillo was warming to the idea.
Okay, Hotshot, you found us an alternative to a nuke. How do you propose we get a transmitter 60 miles into space so we can commandeer the satellite?
If you can get me the codes, Stone typed again and brought up yet another picture, I'll get it up there using this. Juan and the others stared slack-jawed for a moment at the audacity of the plan. Cabrillo finally found his voice.
Eric, you got yourself a deal. I'll call Overholt to arrange your transport. Then we leave port.
You still want to head to Eos Island? Eddie asked.
I'm not abandoning Max.
Aboard the Golden Sky, it hadn't been too difficult for Mark Murphy and Linda Ross to hide the fact they didn't have an assigned cabin. They purchased clothing and toiletries from the shops and could shower in the locker rooms adjacent to the ship's fitness facility. They slept in shifts on poolside deck chairs during the afternoon and spent their nights in the casino. With his photographic memory, Murph was an expert card counter and had turned the $400 they brought with them into a sizable pot. He could have made a fortune had he wanted to, but they needed to maintain their anonymity, so he kept his winnings reasonable. That all changed on the second day, when a number of passengers and crew had runny noses and suffered occasional bouts of sneezing. By listening to people talking near the pool and around the dining table, the two pieced together that everyone had felt fine the night before, but that the ones who were sick had all gone to the midnight buffet, and that the waitstaff and cooks who'd worked the buffet shift were ill as well.
"It has to be a test," Mark surmised.
"How can you be so sure?"
They were just finishing breakfast in a secluded corner of the cavernous dining room.
"Two reasons. Most natural shipboard viral outbreaks are of a gastrointestinal nature. This is presenting like a rhinovirus.
Second, if this was the main attack, we'd all be dead. Even through the insulation of the dining room's walls, they heard the distinctive beat of a helicopter's rotor. They got up from the table and made their way aft. There was a swimming pool at the Golden Sky's fantail. A hard cover had been placed over its aqua waters, and deckhands had cordoned off the area with rope to keep passengers well clear. The chopper was a Bell Jet Ranger with Poseidon Tours emblazoned on its flank. From several decks up, Mark and Linda could see the pilot and three passengers in the cabin.
"This can't be good," Linda said over the growing din.